Hey guys, I hope you're having a good day. This is kind of like one of those, ah shit, here we go again moments. With the recent bill pass of the Online Child Safety Act, heavy quotes on there, is not only a concern for the rest of the world, but it's also going to be a concern for essentially what I think the future of online media, online accounts, fuck, even down to Spotify at this point, which I'm seeing, I don't know if they're real or not, or memes, but it was like, I've seen people that are like, we need to check your ID. And I'm going to pull this up. Absolutely, absolute semina. Another reason to not be British. Honestly, another reason to be glad that you weren't born British. But this is something that's been boiling, festering, curating in the back of my brain for the last about a week, maybe two, or whenever this got passed. I don't know. But I'm starting to see other countries and platforms, keyword right there, take this into note and be like, if a whole country, the UK, can do this, well, so can we. And it kind of ties into the whole theme and the whole perspective of my opinion on digital sovereignty and why you should never put your eggs in one basket. You should never trust these companies won't bend a knee to the government for you, or, you know, just other terrible tech privacy practices. And I'm going to explain this bill in the simplest way possible. So the UK's Online Safety Act, which became law in 2023, is now being implemented by Ofcom, the UK's communication regulator. The legislation requires tech companies providing users and user-to-user services or search engines to take significant steps to protect users, especially children, from illegal content like child sexual abuse material and harmful material. Under the Act, platforms must conduct risk assessment, implement measures like hash matching technology to detect and remove any known child sexual abuse material, which I'm okay with, and protect children from harmful content such as pornography and online grooming. Sure, no one's going to say no to that. They've also established co-practices for illegal harms duties that came into force the 17th of March 2025, which enforce specific actions to increase essentially the requirements. So pretty much is going to require will require ID verification for some of these applications. It came into force at the end of July, which requires users to verify their age before accessing content deeming harmful to children, such as pornography, material promoting suicide or self-harm, and content related to eating disorders. The verification process involves submitting photo ID undergoing a credit card or bank checks, and using AI facial age estimation, making it significantly more rigorous and simple age declaration. The law applies to websites operating in the UK that host potentially inappropriate content and platforms to completely face fines up to 18 million or 10% of their global revenue. The Act mandates secure age verification methods, which that doesn't exist, including photo ID, credit card check, and facial scans to prevent users under 18 from accessing harmful content. Now, any website that has a significant amount of inappropriate, not safe for work content will be subject to this in the UK. And this is kind of my thought process on it. Companies will not go to the extreme extent of very specific policies for one country. It's going to be more resource intensive. So eventually, quite possibly, these companies will start with just doing, yes, the UK. But most importantly, they will eventually just adopt this to everyone. It's easier. It's one platform then. It's one policy. We think you're under 18? Prove it. Oh, you don't want to? Can't use our service. And that's going to be the problem going forward. This isn't going to just stop with the UK. This isn't going to stop just in one country. That'd be insane. Why not do it for everyone? And the US is not far behind. So there's something called the Screen Act. The Screen Act, S-737 in the United States, H.R.1623 in the House, is a proposed U.S. law introduced in February by Senator Mike Lee and Representative Mike Miller. It aims to protect children from online pornography. Why the fuck can I say that? Pornography by requiring websites that contain content deemed harmful, quote unquote, harmful to minors, to use verify the age of their users before allowing access. This would apply to commercial pornographic websites and potentially other platforms like social media or fan fiction sites like A03 if they contain such content. The law would mandate the use of technology verification measures such as third-party age verification services to ensure that users are adults. These are services might require users to submit government issued ID or biometric scans like facial recognition. The bill explicitly states that they simply are asking users to say they're over 18 is not enough, which is fucking crazy. The law is designed to prevent minors from accessing harmful content online and would be enforced by the Federal Trade Commission, which could impose fines, conduct raids, or freeze bank accounts for violations. The bill's proponents argue that necessary update to the protect the children's safety online, while critics warn that it could lead to mass surveillance, create an insecure database of sensitive personal information, which is true, like the driver's license and the passports, and enable censorship of legitimate content. There is no speculation that the broad definition of harmful to minors could impact content like anime, though there is no direct evidence the bill aims to ban anime specifically. The bill is currently in the early stages of legislative process awaiting committee review. I do see some notion that it would not most likely get passed. It's not getting a lot of traction, probably not a lot of support, hopefully not a lot of support, and if your representatives do support this, they can go fuck themselves. There's two problems with this on the surface level. The wording, which pornographic can apply to anything, and the other big issue is to hypothetically screen people for stuff that they're viewing that they have a right to. We can go back and forth and argue all day and say like, oh, kids shouldn't have access to porn. Sure, whatever. That's a parent thing though. Your parents should be parents. Get involved with your children. There's tons of resources online. You don't have to get them a fucking smartphone. They don't need a smartphone to exist in society. This whole like guilt tripping bullshit. They're like, oh, he'll get bullied and made fun of. Who fucking cares? Kids are going to bully you over anything. This is something that I'm gonna shove deep down into people's thoughts, is you do not need to give a minor, a kid, a fucking smartphone. They can survive without it. Like, get them a flip phone. If your primary goal is to eliminate the idea of them having access to them, first have a conversation. Just have a conversation with them. Be like, hey, probably shouldn't go on porn sites, and that's it. It's not good for you at this growing stage of your age, and that's it. Whatever. Now we're going to get into the technical part. Everyone has a brother. Hey, bro, let me borrow your ID. Or, hey, sis, let me borrow your ID. I want a goon. Or I just want to use Instagram or Discord or anything. Anything that this law even touches. I mean, there's literally other countries where they're just going to use a VPN. And then if they find out that you're using a VPN and they require you to upload ID, just upload your brother's ID. Upload Roblox characters or Garry's Mod. Or there's going to be people that are going to run into issues that look, quote unquote, younger than 18. I mean, this exists. You can't determine. It's very hard. The idea that you can determine someone's age just by looking at them is insane and weird. I don't assume people's age. I ask for it like a normal adult. I don't assume people look grown or older or look younger than they really do. That's just, I don't know. I think people do that. Like, it's weird to me, but whatever. Side rant, I guess. The other underlying technical issue is this has got to be stored somewhere. It's going to be stored somewhere. It's not even a question. It's not if, when this database will now be a target and then get compromised. And now you can't, you got all your shit fucking leaked out there in the fucking world. Like, knows where you live. And then you can then find a treasure trove of information for that. I mean, like, it's not even that crazy. Another problem with this in context is people that have access to this kind of information, like, because they want to explore their sexuality, etc., are going to want to do it anyways. They don't probably have maybe the resources. This isn't crazy, but like, they don't have maybe the resources to talk to a therapist or friends or family about things that they're trying to figure out. That's, I don't think it's inherently harmful to access an online forum for people that have questions about stuff like this. This isn't like, but if this forum is depicted too quote unquote inappropriate, then what do you do? You show your ID and now you're exposed in some, you're throwing your shit in some fucking database that's inevitably going to be dumped. But I digress. The other underlying issues besides the fact that people are just going to fraudulently use other people's IDs that are of age to do this, it's just going to, it's just another layer of tracking. A massive layer of tracking. And it's unneeded. It's not welcomed. I shouldn't have to worry about uploading my ID to do stuff on the fucking internet. It's crazy and retarded. But rant aside, what do you do? Because I'm just some guy yelling into the mic at the end of the day. What you do is you go to protocols. You go to protocols that don't require or are never going to require this, that are going to fight against it. Now, Odyssey, I don't know how they're going to handle it. They say that they I don't think they're going to have to because they're technically decentralized. I would like to see how they're going to handle it. But I know of one platform that you're not going to have to worry about. It's called Nostr. Pick protocols over platforms. Now, Blue Sky says that they have to enable this in the UK government. But if they find out your account registered under the UK and you don't, they just limit your app. But they don't completely ban it. Now, is that kind of lame? Sure. But whatever. I mean, they're a company. They're not going to kneel for one country. No company is. Email. Think of email. It's a protocol. It's very, very difficult to censor stuff that is based on protocols. So I'm going to go over Nostr for a little bit. If you want to skip this, skip it. If this bores you, exit. No harm, no foul. So Nostr is an apolitical communication commons, a simple standard that defines a scalable architecture of clients and servers that can be used to spread information freely. Not controlled by any corporation or government. Anyone can build on Nostr. Anyone can use it. Simple. It's not free speech, any political affiliation, nothing. It just is a protocol to help be censorship resistance in the sense of banning. Anyone can use it. Doesn't matter. You don't like someone, unfollow them. Block them. Simple. I'm going to give an example. I was using Twitter. I said something. I got banned for 7 days. That's not going to happen on Nostr. It can't. My account's forever. Now, we're going to go over the technical part again if you want to explain this, but that's fine. I'm on the Nostr.com. I don't know if it's official. I think it is. like the internet, it's internet itself, it's open and chaotic. In Europe, it's pretty much cryptographically signed notes. It uses smart clients as user agents and relays as distribution centers. These are the servers that notes are published to and read from. They cannot change the content of the notes that would invalidate the signature, but they can decide what to store and for how long. The protocol is ownerless, relays are not. Nostr doesn't subscribe to a political ideas of free speech. It simply recognizes that different people have different morals and presence on each server. Being privately owned can follow their own criteria for rejecting content as they please, and users are free to choose what they read and where from where. Freedom of association, your own piece of a Nostr. If you are a programmer and know how to run servers, it is trivial to run your own relay with your own rules. You can run your own Nostr relay. It's very simple. You can do it on Umbral. You can set it up where it's super private, and you can host it over Tor. It's pretty awesome in that sense, and Nostr can be used for tons of stuff. You can find other people that have you like-minded and follow them. There's groups. Nostr is an idea with a lot of open source software around the large user base, but not finished. It isn't. They pretty much have microblogging and relay-based groups. There's an app store where you can explore. There's Nostr Social, join your peers. Pinstar, like Pinterest, but on Nostr with Zaps. Now, this is very heavily, before I get too deep into it, this is heavily based on Bitcoin. Not based, but like it's a lot of Bitcoin people are around it. People, like you can zap people, it uses, it's Lightning, Lightning's involved, like the Lightning protocol. It's a little bit, it's very crypto esque, like lots of crypto people are on there, especially like their Bitcoin maxis pretty much. But you can run your own relay. You do not have to participate in the Bitcoin ideology. You can just ignore those people. And again, you can run your own relay. So you can kind of choose where you're going to go. There is Monero people out there. Now, there's Nostr Social, Freeform, different types of apps. Photos, you can do photos. You can upload photos via Blossom. It's kind of like Blobs. It's like where the media is stored. Some are paid, some are free. You can do paid relays. You can do free relays. Direct message, you can send messages. You can do videos. You can do live streaming, file sharing. It's literally a protocol, so it's very awesome. There's some marketplaces. People even released their music. On Nostr. It's called Wave, I think. And it's pretty awesome. Now, how do you get on Nostr? You essentially got to create a public private key. If you want to join, just go to Nostr.com, join. It'll generate an account for you. These are cryptographically signed. You have a secret key and you have a public key. The public key is your user ID. This is like you can share it with anyone. Anyone can find you through this. Now, there's a private key. The private key is what you keep private. Hence the name, secret. You should never share this. You can store it and, you know, store it some places. Use and then I would say get an Android signer. An Android signer is a dedicated signer and bunker that provides and stores all your NSEC and can sign other Android and web apps. So this kind of like bunkers your secret key. This is where you put your secret key. There's something called Amber. Amber is essentially a secure way. It can work offline. It uses NIP46 to make NIP46. I mean that your private key should never be exposed, and The goal of Amber is to have your smartphone act as a NIP46 signing device without any need for servers or additional hardware. Private keys should never be exposed. Should be exposed to a few systems as possible. Each system adds an attack surface. As Irrational said, NIP states, in addition to native apps, Amber aims to support all current web applications. It's great. It's great. I use it. There's certain events that I sign that I give a little bit more access to. And then there's ones that I give no access to. It's just like read only. I mean, that's what's cool about it. And Nostra is a huge, huge, huge community. Now, what makes this protocol great, just like email, censorship resistant. So how does it entirely work? I mean, you could go over pretty much the user chooses their outbox relays. They write their notes and they send their notes through the relays, and those relays relay them. If someone follows you, like when somebody reads your notes, you look up their account and you like follow them, just like anything else. There's ways you can read you can do RSS feeds to Nostr. You can do, like, there's so many different applications that you can connect to Nostr, because it's a protocol, and that's what's good about it. Another protocol is Blue Sky. Blue Sky is a protocol, technically. Not as cheap to run, and the AT protocol is maybe a little bit less, I think because it makes it a little bit more difficult to set up, it is a little bit harder to set up. I believe that makes it a little bit more kind of L, but it's still a protocol. And they can't enforce the ID because you can run your own relay, technically. And then Nostr, you can, boom, you know, run your own relay. Okay, so I'm going to give some advice on where you should start on the pretty much the decentralized part of it, you know, and how to avoid this altogether. First off, not only don't put your all eggs in one basket, but most importantly, you want to spread your information. Now, in the terms of blogging, if you have a blog through Nostr, there's actually something called, it might be a little bit harder to get the traction in the beginning, but you know, you got to start somewhere. And there's so much you can discover. So blogging wise, if you have a blog, you can get something called Habla, a long form content for Nostr. You can do Obsidian Nostr Writer, where you can use Obsidian. It's a plugin. Directly publish your articles from Obsidian to Nostr with a couple of clicks. You can accept Zaps as forms of payment. So you're kind of like decentralizing the payment process, whether you agree with Bitcoin or not. You can actually use Feeder. You can get a RSS Feeder to work with Nostr. It's kind of cool. There's group chats, blah, 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 like I said earlier. And same thing with your music, you can release it on Nostr. There's just so many endless possibilities. So I'm thinking about, in perspective, what are the apps that most people use? I mean, there has been the meme of, there's only four apps, we only use four apps, and they all share each other. they're all like connected to each other. So, in the terms of protocols and being as censorship resistant as possible, I think of like this, the average user. The average user probably cares about storage, like where do they put their haha funny photos, their social media app, where they put their haha funny posts, and shit. I mean, texting, I guess. Now, Average user, switch to Nostr, safe harbor your private key like a password, share your public key with everyone else. Step one. Step two, I've talked about this before, private.storage. It's built on a decentralized technology called Tahoe LAFS, the least authoritative file storage, or Tahoe LAFS, is a free software, decentralized, encrypted storage system. These are great. Their pricing is cheap. And it being very inexpensive, for $6.50, you can store 30 gigs months of data. For example, you could store about 30 gigs for 1 month, 10 gigs for 3 months, or 3 gigs for 10 months. So, not bad. How is storage time anonymous? They detach the user's online activity from an account or specific payments, you know, etc. So, if you have, like, say, 6 gigs worth of photos, just back it up. They have an About Us, a blog. They've been around since 2013. Yeah, they've been around for a long time, so they're not going anywhere. And the last update was 2024 of October, so about a year ago. They have an Android app. Don't know about iOS, but you can just use probably like a progressive web app. And they have pretty good features. I mean, it's encrypted. Client on the client side. Accountless authorization. Distributed and redundant. Recoverable. Storage time. So more for your bang. There also is IPFS, but, you know, you have to remember that is distributed across many networks, and it's resilient. Peer-to-peer IPS, storage, and manage your data on IPFS, which you can do. And there's apps, some apps that support IPFS, which is pretty good. They got some browser integration. Super awesome. Love IPFS, but private storage is probably going to be most user-friendly. Then there's, besides the apps, besides that, and texting, I would do probably like SimpleX. SimpleX is probably going to be the most decentralized. You can use Flux servers. You can host your own relays, making it more decentralized. Flux servers, Flux AI is kind of interesting. I'll just pull it up. You're going to get a lot of crypto shit when you go around, and the word Flux is used in crypto for so much. Pretty much, Flux, where the fuck is it? God, too many things use the word fucking Flux. There we go. Runonflux.com is the website if you want to check it out. Runonflux.com. If you have like services that you want to like host and build and not have to worry about centralized services like Amazon, like AWS, they're fucking huge. It's kind of like StoreJS. StoreJS is another one. You will run across the fucking crypto part, but they said they're more than the crypto. But mine run nodes and execute transactions with Zellcore, SSP, and Eco Wallet. They are a blockchain technology. They were in a... I heard them... Seth for Privacy had them on. You can pretty much deploy a node if you want. 1,000, 10,000. I don't like the requirement. I just don't like the idea of locking your shit up in crypto for a fucking shit. But you can do WordPress on Flux. Flux Marketplace, like other places that pretty much put their other stuff on there. You can sell in Flux. Flux Cloud is what you really want to look at. Create, launch, and scale apps on Flux. Will they be able to do Kubernetes, though? That's the real question. Flux Cloud starts off at $2.30 for 8 gigs of memory, 2 vCPUs, and 100 gigs of storage. That's a pretty good price. Not bad. Their highest tier for 8 CPUs, 32 gigs of memory, and 100 gigs of storage is like $7. That's fucking crazy. That's pretty redonkulous, if you ask me. And they got a calculator like everyone else. I mean, how many instances will we be running? 3. Wow, that is... They... Looks like they... For... Wow. For 100... 125 gigs of RAM. Oh, storage. Wow, that's crazy. And you could run a Monero node on this, probably. Let's see. Let's do, for just the growth of Monero, 300 gigs of storage. 2 CPUs. Well, overkill. $10 a month. You can go way cheaper than that. I mean, the storage is... You can get it down to probably like $8 a month. Or you can do just a preset configuration for 50 gigs. I mean, you would need, damn, that's not really a good that's kind of like a 3 nodes. I don't know. I'm just throwing it like out there. Like, you can launch a WordPress for $8. Not bad. It's got contract length. Like 12 months, they might give you a discount. I don't know. Yeah, 5% discount, $95 for WordPress. That's not bad. For your standard 40 gig SSD, Flux Drive, if you just want to store back up your files, 10 gigs is 50 cents a month. That's crazy. Wow, that's really good. 100 gigs is $5 a month. And you can do a customization. That's kind of awesome. Like, not bad for the drive. And, I mean, like, you're not really going to beat that. So, decentralized computing is always going to be better because it's going to drive competition, and the more people that get involved, the better it is. I mean, Storage A is, I could, if I wanted to back up my NAS to Storage J, I could, and it's a fraction of the cost. My worry is that shit might not last. I use Backblaze because they've been around forever. But once this becomes very doable, then I would probably look at something like this, or maybe like Storage J with the mixture of Backblaze for super redundancy. But you know, who's counting? But the thing is, as long as Flux maintains their interoperability, their uptime, their interoperability to hold their values of being staying private, stay censorship resistant. Same thing with IPFS. Same thing with Noster. Your worries of being canceled on the internet is it goes away. It's almost like leaks. Now there are some cons, which I'll get into. And you have to take these into account. And I'll explain why. Because I was not really aware of it, or I didn't really think about it until then. We all know the internet is permanent. And what you say on the internet is there forever. That's not a crazy take. That's not an idea that I came up with. It's just the reality. With the blockchain, it's more permanent and more public. It's immutable. So if you say some shit, it's Jover for you. So you have to be more cautious. And I think it should create more cautious. You have to be more cautious what you say. But it's not like you can get banned. So it's like a double-edged sword. But if you sit and think about it, people remember stuff. People's attention span is pretty bad today, but like people remember things. Maybe they'll remember stuff for like a couple months. Move on. With this, they can just pull up the blockchain, the receipts. So something to keep in mind. And then with Nostr, the major side effect you have to think about is you have to trust the relays. I mean, you have to trust Facebook and Instagram too, but you have to trust the relays. They could potentially, you could be de-anonymized. I think your IP address is somewhere stored in the notes as well. So you got to trust these relay operators to have the same values as you. How you mitigate that trust and eliminate it, use a VPN, A. And you won't get fucking captured. You won't get sent into CAPTCHA hell, by the way. Just throwing that out there. You will not get sent into CAPTCHA hell if you sign in with a VPN into Nostr. You just won't. It's great. That's the first great part about it. Second, you will also need to understand that relays could be malicious. So you, by running your own relay, this mitigates all of it. Run your own relay. It's very easy to set up. It takes care of all the actions, stores all the media. It's kind of like think of it as like a backup. And it being private means you control the keys. Not your keys, not your crypto, not your Nostr relay, not your data. To a certain degree. So run your own relay. It's very simple to set up. Just get an Umbral. You can run that in your own Monero node. Umbral makes it super easy to start harvesting your own data. You can run Nextcloud on it. You can run Monero on it. You can run Uptime Kuma on it. You just got to be very, very careful on what you run. Because you got to pick which Pi. The newer Pis are way better. So like Pi 5 and up, 5 and if you know you're listening to this in the future, that's there. Like IPFS, my podcast is on IPFS. I host it on there and it relays all my information, which is good. So like I'm permanently on the internet. I use Fountain for some stuff. Like I have a Fountain account that's like a way to distribute my podcast, but I mainly use Yellowball. Yellowball is my hosting provider, but the distribution management is amazing. I have tons of options. I can go on I'm pretty much on all the platforms because of that. Like I'm on Fountain, which is kind of good, and then I'm on some other distribution podcast too. I'm on Podcast 2.0, and I've been on Nostr for quite a while now. And Mastodon, which is a little bit more decentralized, not there yet, still a platform. You can get your account banned. Same thing with, I think, Blue Sky too. So you have to keep that in the back of your head. There's Matrix. Matrix is a protocol, very censorship resistant. There's some concerns about security. So take that with a grain of salt. I would just say opt for a SimpleX. It's literally the best. It has groups, it has rooms. You can do video call. You can do regular call. If you don't trust it, run your own relay. The more options these companies give you to run your own relay, the more you should ensure that this is a good idea. And I mean, just you can then once you start going down the decentralized rabbit hole, you're like, oh my God, there's so much out there that I just have never even heard of. So it definitely exists. And I would definitely recommend people to check it out. But start with Nostr. It's kind of like crack or something. It's your first hit. Start with Nostr. Just inject it a little bit. Smoke it a little bit, whatever, however you want to look at it, and fucking just go from there. Learn to get away from these centralized platforms that do not care about your privacy, they do not care about you, and they do not care about their original vision of connecting people. All they care about is kneeling to the government, which is, you know, whatever, they're going to, and they're set in place to just mine your data. That's it. Once these government agencies figured it out, they're like, oh, there's only four apps and everyone's using them and it's hard to leave and all their data's there. Think about it. Didn't really take much thinking to get beyond that. It's social media is now just a giant sheep in a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's like it's masking itself as to protect this protect the children bullshit is a huge mask, a huge wolf in sheep's clothing. Like literally, I mean, it's kind of cringe I'm using that, but easiest way to explain it. They do these politicians, these companies do not fucking care. I mean, that's like plain and simple. They're using all these insane laws and regulations to do it, to pretty much, quote unquote, protect children, like how we did a war on terror with the Patriot Act that was supposed to stop terrorism and money laundering. That didn't fucking work. DA, war on drugs, that didn't fucking work. I mean, the list goes on. It's and the thing is, sucks is when you fight against this, people look at you like you're crazy. Like, you don't care about children being exposed to some of these awful, awful industries that do exploit them. I mean, it's just a different conversation you got to have with people. And it's about kind of like how you present it. Don't have your kids have a social media account. Don't upload your children's face to social media. It's that simple. Don't have to get them a smartphone. Just give them a fucking flip phone. You are downgrading the security by not allowing them to use Signal, sure. But if your kid's just calling and texting you, and only you, then I don't really have an issue with that. And when they become an adult, then switch them to better encrypted, end-to-end encrypted communications. Or, if you're going to get them a smartphone, just set up a parent account. Unironically, Google and Apple have very good parental controls, and then you can use something like NextDNS, because they're not going to fucking know. You change it in their DNS settings, lock it down so they can't change it, and then boom, you can now block all these sites on the DNS level, no matter where they're at, no matter in the world, no matter what website they're on, Wi-Fi they're on, they're not doing it at least, and you're doing the best you can. Doing is better than, and trying is better than not doing it and just letting your children run free, unsupervised on the fucking internet like TikTok and Roblox. And all these other fucking awful places that probably exist. But, again, I digress. YouTube is rolling out age verification too. This is the last segment and the last part before I dip. But it is... Ooh. YouTube has been testing a new AI-powered age verification system in the United States starting on August 13th. The system uses artificial intelligence to estimate a user's age based on their viewing habits, such as types of videos watched and the categories of content consumed, rather than relying solely on the birthday provided at the account creation. This is fucking insane, by the way. And there is no act like the Child Online Safety Act in the UK. This is just YouTube deciding to do this. And Spotify and all these other countries are jumping on board. And it will begin using AI for age verification this week and going forward. It's insane. There's nothing you can do about it. If YouTube forces me to do it, I'll abandon it. I'll abandon YouTube in a heartbeat. Unfortunately, as much as I love all the people that have subscribed to me and watch my videos and give me their time, I will not hand YouTube that kind of information, especially when I do it for free. I'm not being paid by them. I am not monetized, and I still am. If this changes in the future, I'll just be transparent. I am not going to be monetized. I don't plan on it. I will maybe find a different way to monetize, but that will be in the future. If you like my content and you got it to the end and you want to, you can donate Monero to me. I'll just use it to not maybe to increase the Monero circular economy and be like pay for like hosting stuff, like pretty much this podcast. It'll just go back into the production of this and my time. And I will leave all the resources in the show notes this time and where you can find me on all my socials. And I appreciate everyone listening. This has been pretty much a good time. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. Share the podcast with all your friends and stay safe.